Hello, everyone out there in listener land. This is Cody from the Rancor's Brothel. As you may have already noticed, the show's going to be a little bit odd today, but I wanted to mention something, a little bit of promotional time for Follow Networks, which the Rancor's Brothel is a proud member of. Follow Networks has released their second comic book called Joan of Orca. Check out Follow Networks on Facebook. You can get that. It is a pay-what-you-want book. It's something we had a lot of fun developing at PopCon, and as you'll hear shortly, Matt is not on the show today, and I know he would have loved to have pitched that. So I want to throw that out there to you guys. Check out Joan of Orca. Sign up with Follow Networks. We love being creative guys, creating content for you, for us. It's cathartic. It's a great time. So if you get a chance, go check out Joan of Orca. Pitch in with some other projects. If you're creative, if you have an idea, I know that all the lovely folks here with Follow Networks would love to hear about it. So check us out and enjoy the show.
Engage.
The Rancor's Brothel. Great Scott.
Get off my plane.
Hello and welcome to the Rancor's Brothel. I am your co-host Cody, and as you may notice by the intro, there is no Matt. Unfortunately, our good buddy here on the brothel, Matt, co-founder, Mr. Follow Networks guy, all of his various titles, has taken ill, and this is sort of the 11th hour, so we had to scramble around to find some content for you, our devoted listeners. Luckily, I got a hold of one of my oldest friends in the world, Fodre, better known as the Fodge. Say hi, Fodge.
How's it going?
And Fodge and I are going to do an awesome, awesome thing this weekend. We're going to go and check out Gen Con in downtown Indy. But before we go and talk about that, Fodge, this is your first time on the Rancor's Brothel.
It is.
So usually I like to make people prove their nerd street cred, as it were. So what can you tell everybody about your sort of nerd level?
Oh, it's over 9,000, I would say.
That's fair.
Been playing Atari. I think I started when I was 3. Moved on, got a NES when I was real young still. Big video games, more on the Super Nintendo. Just progressed through there. Pretty into D&D. Did a lot of Magic the Gathering back in the day. Now it's mostly PC gaming and freelance video game art.
Nice. Very cool. And so out of curiosity, out of your wealth of video game and nerdly knowledge, what would you say your greatest accomplishment is? Like best game you ever completed, you know, achievement unlocked that you thought you would never get, something like that.
We're going to have to edit out silence because I'm not sure.
Fair enough.
I guess in recent memories, I'm playing Dark Souls 2, which is just a kick in the pants.
It is.
So every little scrape of fun I get out of that has been rewarding so far.
Every little pain, or every little bit of hope you get between the pain of getting kicked square in the balls by that game?
It's very good. So that was the fun learning curve.
So how does it compare then in your mind to, say, the first Dark Souls? Did you play Dark Souls?
Yeah, I did, and I played a little Demon Souls, so it's a little hard to judge the curve because I'm more used to the system.
Gotcha.
As a fresh person that's never played it before, you're gonna die a lot.
Yeah, that's the game where I played, I think, for 3 hours, and after I died getting halfway through a dungeon, because some barrel exploded that I could not tell was going to explode, I threw my controller across the room and quit.
I believe I was reading something on Reddit, which, you know, obviously the pinnacle of the internet.
Correct. All knowledge is found on Reddit.
But it was actually a pretty well-written article about how they were comparing Dark Souls 2 as Zelda for adults.
Interesting.
Because, I mean, obviously different systems and different mechanics, but just the way you have to learn, you get tools, you go through this world, it's just grown-up Zelda.
But to me, I never felt that, I mean, of course, you're a huge Zelda fan. Do you feel that the challenge of Zelda as a young person is the same as a challenge as Dark Souls or Demon Souls is for an adult player?
It's very different. With the Zelda games, you're obviously doing more puzzle solving, and this challenges you more mechanically.
Interesting. I say, because to me it always feels a little bit like the old NES games. Like you had to, there was only one way to get through it, and you just had to grit your teeth and learn from each mistake. And it's very different from modern gaming.
I would say more than the linear path. There's multiple paths you can take, but each one is going to be tough.
Each one's going to suck a lot.
Like maybe the old Mega Man, where it's like, yeah, you could go gale this boss if you want to. It's going to suck, but this boss might suck a little less.
That's fair. It's a good point. Anyway, to get to our topic today, we are going to talk about Gen Con. Fodge, we both went last year as our first year.
Yes.
And let's see, how do I want to start about this? For anyone who doesn't know about Gen Con, we talked about it last year on the Brothel at about this time, so you can go back and listen to that episode if you want. It was my post-Gen Con thoughts with my wife. It is the mecca of gaming, I would say, as far as RPG tabletop gaming, board gaming, for the world. It's the largest convention of its size. I've heard rumors that for Indianapolis, the 4 days of Gen Con last year, where they sold like 48,000 badges for attendees, not to mention all the people that are here, industry people and people on, you know, just here to take in the ambiance and food and whatnot. I hear they made more money during the 4 days of Gen Con last year than they did during the entirety of the Super Bowl Village, which was like 14 days. So that's pretty impressive. It's a large, large gathering of nerds for games, film, all sorts of role-playing, cosplay, card games, board games, you name it. Am I missing anything?
There's some video game stuff.
Oh, there was?
There's some. Cryptozoic was there last year. They had Hex, which was pretty cool. Golem Arcana looks pretty cool.
I don't know if you did. I remember talking to somebody. Did you see the IUPUI interactive board game thing that they did?
No, I missed that.
IUPUI has a digital class thing. I don't know. I just happened to glance at it. Gen Con is so massive. Takes up the entire convention center. It is so easy to miss things. It's ridiculous. But IUPUI had a whole, what was it? They did a class where it was like you were doing almost like a scavenger hunt. But they had a 3D model of downtown or something like that. It was bizarre. It was really
totally missed it.
Yeah. And the worst part of all was that exhibit, I'm pretty sure I saw the one time I was waiting on you to get out of a panel. So it was right next to where the panels were.
Of course. That seems about right.
But Gen Con's like that. So, yeah. For hopefully we will see some of our fellow Brothel listeners out there. If you do, be sure to say hello. But for those thinking of attending Gen Con, wanting to attend Gen Con, Fodge, what sort of tips do you have for the listeners out there?
You need water, you need a backpack, and you need some compression shorts. So, those are my three must-haves for Gen Con.
In any particular order?
Compression shirts, shorts, backpack, then water.
Yep, we want to keep the guys and or ladies nice and dry and clean.
Yep. It is no fun on day three having some chafing and just walking through that convention center. You're going to have a bad time.
Nice sweaty balls. other than that, all good tips. I agree with all of them. What else? What did you learn from your experience last year that you're carrying into Gen Con this year?
I signed up for way too many panels last year and did not get to experience enough exhibitor floor.
Gotcha.
I spent all of my time in basically two rooms. I learned a lot, and it was really cool, but I'm like, I have no idea what was going on outside those walls.
So you would say, what prompted you to take all those panels? Were you thinking that that's what Gen Con was mostly about, or was it just personal interest, or did you sort of get lost in the millions of things that are, you know, Gen Con?
A little bit from all. I thought, like, I didn't know what they were going to be selling on the floor that would hold interest. I thought maybe some art prints, but what really appealed to me was here's a chance to listen to some industry professionals and top tier people and just get their thoughts and pretty candid, like, spots with them. The panels, sometimes say are sold out and stuff, but if there's something you want to go to, check. They were very laxed on the entry last year. Rooms were not full even when they said they were sold out. So it never hurts. Just write it down. Go have a look on the time slot. You might get in.
Yeah, I think that that's an important thing to pass on to people. A lot of times in conventions, you might have a panel or a small group gathering or whatever, and, you know, they sell 40 tickets for this interview, and all the 40 tickets are gone, and there's no opportunity for anything. At Gen Con, we experienced this last year. It's kind of a pro tip. if you think you're going to go to something and it's free, sign up for it. But, you know, get general tickets, which can be used for any event. If you think something's sold out but you're not sure, go check on it 5-10 minutes before it opens, because plenty of people sign up for stuff and they just get lost in X, Y, or Z board game or demonstration or film, and who knows what happens. So, I mean, how often would you say, Fod, did you use very many generic tickets last year to get into anything?
I bought 15 this year just to cover. They're $2 a piece. I'm like, if I need more, I can always get more, but my base this year was 15.
And how many of them do you think you used last year? Did you use them to get anything you thought was sold out?
That was sold out, no, but the highlight to the thing, do you remember that Mech Warrior game we played?
Yes.
That was general tickets. That was pretty interesting.
Say, I think I used mine for, we went and saw, did you go see the movie with us?
Yes, that was a good way of doing films, and that's a great way to unwind at night and just relax.
Yeah. So this is a 24-hour type of thing. I mean, don't get me wrong, it slows down at what?
3?
Midnight?
Well, yeah, probably closer to midnight.
I mean, the floor is usually open something like 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., something to that effect. But events are going on 24/7. You're talking about last year, what was it, 3,000 events or something printed in the book, but people are always adding things on the website and things you can't find. And I think what struck me the most was there was a card game you were interested in us trying, and we got a live demo of it at like 2 a.m., I think, from a volunteer.
No, it was the head of the company. He was so tired. He's like, check us out. Here's all our stuff. Showed us how to play, gave us some free swag. And then remember the late night magic tournament that was from like 11 to 6 a.m.?
Yes. It is insane. It's indescribable to people. So what else can we talk about? Any other pro tips, any other advice that you can think of, or what sort of planning did you go through yourself? So you said you bought 15 general tickets. Is that more or less than last year?
I think I had 10 last year.
So you're expecting to utilize them more this year?
I thought since I would be on the floor more, I'm going to see more stuff I'm going to want to do, so I just in case.
Gotcha.
Oh, pro tip, go around to the surrounding restaurants, get cool dice, shirts, draft beers. It's not limited to the convention center.
Yes, I think that's fair. I mean, all of Indianapolis goes hardcore nerd, I think, at the start of Gen Con, and it's just nonstop.
Even the crazy biker rally that was there last year was very accommodating.
Yeah, last year we had Indy Fringe and the U.S. Motorcycle Grand Prix and Gen Con all happening at once, and it was pretty awesome. Lots of stuff going on.
It was. Everyone got along well. That was, I guess, one thing. People seem to be much more open and friendly than I anticipated.
Given how stressful the situations were, how long
did you... Oh, yeah.
Did you eat with us at the Ram Brewery when we had to wait outside?
No, I missed that one.
I think we waited for like an hour and a half outside because that's how packed the place was. And they were showing Blade Runner, I think, on television, which was kind of interesting to go into a restaurant and not see a football game or, you know, ESPN. Was watching Blade Runner.
Definitely looking forward to swinging by Scotty's again this year, because they had some good brews and some good shirts last year.
Yep. Very, very cool. Switching gears a little bit, what are you looking forward to this year? Is there anything on your slate that is a must-see for you? A new game you want to check out? A certain individual you want to see? That kind of thing.
I'm just going to try to take it more slowly this year, enjoy more of the sights, and just, I guess, do more natural discovery.
Mm.
So last year I tried to plan every minute and have this tight schedule, and then when things would fall through, I would just freak out and be upset, and like, oh no, my Gen Con's not working. And now let's just see what we see.
I think it's a good idea. I think Ambrosia and I are going to do the same thing. It's just, it's going to be stressful enough with, you know, the crowds and the people. So I think people should just go in and expect to be wowed by all the crazy stuff happening.
I think it was a mistake limiting myself to a schedule. I think, like, more organic discovery would have lent itself to having a better time.
Very cool. I think it's a good point. I second that. So we were looking at the Industry Insider Guests of Honor.
Yes.
So anyone on this list that sticks out to you, anyone you are interested in talking to or hearing from? I didn't know if you had signed up for any panels with any of these people that you knew of.
I signed up for some freelancing panels, but if you'd like to know one guy, J.R. Rawls, I have an axe to grind. So I would like to meet this individual and give him a few pieces of my mind.
J.R. Rawls. So anyone out there in listener land who is going to Gen Con, be on the lookout.
Mr. Rawls, why do you feel it appropriate to make your Kickstarter backers pay for a movie, not deliver it to them first, since, you know, they funded your movie, and then try to charge them again at Gen Con while not delivering your movie?
Fodrant. You and Kickstarters, you've not always had the best of luck with Kickstarted projects.
That's another show. That is.
So just to fully explain this, because I've already heard this before. Apparently, Fadre, would you like to go ahead and talk about your Kickstarted project? You Kickstarted it when?
Well, the movie was supposed to be done November of 2013.
And as is with most Kickstarters, it was not accomplished, shall we say, on time.
Which is fine. I mean, it's an independent studio. I give the guy all the leeway in the world. He's trying his hardest. He got $25,000 to make a movie, 849 backers, so he's got some orders to fill. He had a bigger budget than what he thought. Okay, the time frame is not my issue.
Your issue arises that, so I'd say you've been at least, you know, moderately, you know, appeased. You haven't gone all flame on him immediately.
No, it's just I feel slighted that, as a backer, my initiative or my incentive for backing was that I get to see this movie that I made happen. But instead, and I'm glad that it's getting out there, and that's wonderful, but if he has a copy to show at Gen Con, and I paid for the digital streaming and everything, and, like, DVDs set are being printed, I don't know why the backers are not getting their rewards before. Like, I'm at least lucky. I have the opportunity to go to Gen Con and see it. What about the poor guy who does not get to go to Gen Con, who backed, and it's like, oh, we've already all seen this movie. You're out of luck.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm having a similar thing with a book that I helped back on Kickstarter, and they just sent us a letter about how the book is essentially done, but we're getting special versions printed that are supposed to be shipped to us. And they've gone ahead and decided to release the Kindle version and the PDF version available on their site prior to backers actually getting a copy of the book. And that is a tiny bit frustrating. They are giving us free digital copies, so we can at least read the book ahead of getting our copy. But considering you're backing a product like a book, I would like to have the book in my hand when it hits shelves, you know what I mean, or shortly thereafter. It's just sort of the nature of the Kickstarter beast, I suppose.
I don't know why it's that way, but that does seem to be the current theme.
All right, so one more time. We're looking for J.R.
Rawls.
J.R. Rawls. Everybody, I believe. Keep an eye out.
If I mispronounced his name, then I feel like he deserves it.
Oh, snap. Fair.
On the flip side, though, I would like to give a massive shout-out to Tasty Minstrel Games and doing Kickstarters properly. Dungeon Roll, I think. They've done a couple other things. Dungeon Roll was my big one for Gen Con last year.
Yeah, no, that was a sweet game. They put out some expansions, too.
Yes, I've backed a winter promo.
Nice.
But they delivered in a timely manner. They made sure to get everyone copies before Gen Con. They do a very nice and fair pricing model. They deliver quality product. Not endorsed by them, have no affiliation, just did not want to completely crap on Kickstarters all episode.
And since we're talking about nice Kickstarters, I've talked about this on the show before. I backed Golden Goblin Press's Tales of the Crescent City, which was a Call of Cthulhu supplement, so you could base a whole bunch of play sessions in and around the New Orleans area. Got that on time within 2 weeks of when they said it was. It is awesome. Looking forward to getting the rest of my backer stuff emailed to me as it is finished. So yeah, Kickstarter, it's a 50-50 shot.
Good luck.
Good luck. Okay, after that rant, anybody that you want to see that you don't want to punch in the face?
I mean, I wouldn't say I want to punch the guy in the face. I just want to ask him why he thinks it's fine to screw up his backers.
Fair enough. Anyone that you don't want to have a stern lecture with?
Mostly every single other person that's at Gen Con, because everyone was so nice last time.
Some names that people out there in brothel land might know. Keith Baker is going to be there. Keith Baker created the Eberron setting for D&D. He also created the card game Gloom. Apparently he worked on Cthulhu Flux as well, as I scroll down their website here. I know him from somewhere else. He's written some books. I have something downstairs by Keith Baker, but I don't know what it is. He's done some fantasy novels. Everybody goes to Gen Con is the answer.
I guess I do have one particular shout out. Lexi Douglas, she's a Carmel native, was on Penny Arcade Strip Search. She has an excellent art booth at the exhibit hall. I have some of her prints. Just like to support local art. So she was super nice. Go check her out if you're in the area. Fantasy artists, so.
Yeah, and there's plenty of that there to be had as well. I guess let's switch the topic a little bit. What else are you attending at Gen Con? So obviously you're going to go to some panels. You're going to hit the floor. Is there anything else you're really looking forward to trying?
We missed it last year, but I'd like to grab you and everyone else, and I want to do a play session of D&D Next.
Gotcha. Have you looked into the play sessions for D&D Next yet?
I mean, I looked at times and stuff, but as for the rule sets and everything, after the fourth edition incident, as we'll call it, I just did not get my hopes up, so I'm just going in fresh.
Gotcha. Well, I'm curious to see if they make as big a deal out of it as they did last year, you know what I mean? Because
yeah,
last year was a whole to-do, but they were basically unveiling it. It's not really being unveiled anymore, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it should be out soon, I believe.
Yeah, D&D Next is kind of out there in the world, so it'll be interesting to see. My guess is it'll be a little more low-key, but I still would like to try it out. So to explain to people who don't know, Fodge and I go back a long way. We grew up, like, two blocks from each other. So when any of us learned about one nerdy thing or another, bought a new video game, played a new board game, we were always hanging out with each other. So we grew up playing 3rd edition D&D. Bruce Cordell is, actually, one of the original writers of, 3rd edition D&D, Fodge.
Okay.
And do you know the name Monty Cook? Because Monty Cook also helped with 3rd ed.
Yes, that one does sound familiar. But you've always been more the novel nerd, and I've always stuck more to the gaming realm.
Well, there's a, I'm just throwing this out there mostly for you so you can keep an eye out for me. There are two, RPGs that I'm interested in finding. It's by Monty Cook Games. One's called Numenera, and the other's called The Strange. Have you heard either anything about these?
I've been kind of under the radar lately, so I'm not even sure what's going on.
So Monty Cook has broken off and created his own, it's his own game, game company. But he's also been developing his own universe of RPGs, so not tied to the traditional D20 or GURPS or any of those White Wolf, that kind of stuff, sort of your classic scenarios, your classic gaming style. So not only is he creating a new RPG, he's abandoning all other methods of play. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He's in Numenera and in The Strange, you've got this thing called the Cypher System, where they're attempting to combine storytelling with mechanics. So with the Cypher System, which is the sort of the mechanics behind which you create your characters, which I would say is always sort of the skeleton, the bare bones of an RPG, in it you are a blank blank that blanks. So basically you choose a noun, an adjective to describe that noun, and a verb that noun does, and that's how you create your character.
Elven fire wizard who rides dragons?
Maybe a possibility.
Sold.
So what they've done is, rather than you're used to seeing books upon books, supplements and whatnot with extra classes, right? So what they do is they start by the beginning character you be can be a million things. But what's interesting about the Cypher System is that you actually only have three starting classes. So you sort of have a strength-based class, an intelligence-based class, and a speed-based class. So you could sort of think about it in old school RPGs as barbarian, wizard, rogue. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah.
Then what you do is you pick that, and that's your noun. Then your adjective, say you're a sneaky rogue, or you're a witty rogue, or you're a, you know, happy rogue, whatever. So you've got a chart that helps describe your character, but at the same time changes that character mechanically. So a swift rogue gets a +2 to his speed. A swift wizard gets a +2 to his speed. You see what I'm saying?
Would it be cast speed then or move speed at that point? Does it vary?
It's still, the whole game is based around those three, those three, they call it might, I think it's might, intelligence, and speed. And every player character can use all three. So it's not like min-maxing in D&D or something like
okay.
that.
Okay.
So even if you are a wizard and you've maxed out your intelligence, if you have to climb a brick wall really fast or something, you would still use your might ability, even though your might ability might be significantly lower than your intelligence. Does that make sense?
Yeah, gotcha.
And then with then you alter it that way, but you also alter it with your verb as well. So you might be a swift scientist who phases through walls.
Okay.
And they've just, apparently I haven't seen the books, but they just have, it's like a D100 chart, like just massive numbers of adjectives and verbs to sort of create that unique character fit.
That would be a nice twist.
It's definitely different. I'm looking forward to trying it, particularly The Strange, because The Strange takes place in modern day, so you create a modern day character, but you can open up rifts in time and space to go to these other places. And when you go to these other places, it's a little bit like the dream worlds in Call of Cthulhu. You make a different character. So you might be a Joe Blow salesman on Earth, but when you go to the fantasy setting, you're an epic dragon rider. Or you go to this techno cyberpunk type of setting, and you're some sort of techno lich. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, gotcha.
So it's interesting. So that's one of the things I'm interested in. Numenera, which already uses a cipher system, has been very, very popular in the last 6 months to a year when Monty Cook did his first Kickstarter. Now he's got Bruce Cordell in on the second one, and The Strange is the second one, and it's supposed to be, I believe, debuting at Gen Con. So that will be very cool.
I guess I'm looking forward to playing Marvel Dice Masters to see if all the hype lives up.
So what sort of hype is there behind Marvel Dice Masters?
Oh, go try and buy it and you'll find out, because you can't. It is just sold out everywhere, but I've been hearing mixed reviews lately that the production quality may not be as good as we'd hoped.
Interesting. So do you think it's just a big Marvel kick for everyone, you know, and that's what's selling it, or is it actually a flawed system?
I mean, the system itself is okay, but the premise is with, I mean, rather than collecting cards and having, like, Wolverine on a card and that's where his abilities are, you build dice, and you have dice to have the abilities on. So, but I hear the dice are kind of shoddy. So it's like, now I have a bunch of cards that I don't need with crappy dice. So I'm hoping that maybe it's just a first printing, or that some of the reviews I've read are just upset.
Yeah, just whining.
Yeah, so I'd like to give it a try. I'd like to see how the system plays.
Fair enough. Very cool. You think we'll meet anybody from Riot again this year?
Oh, man. Eric Teach, if you're listening, thank you. Good guy, Riot.
Good guy.
Made me switch from Dota playing League because of Gen Con.
That's true. And we also saw Wheel Wheaton several times last year, which is pretty cool.
We did. Now he has a show on Sci-Fi, so he probably won't even talk to us.
Well, he didn't talk to us before. We saw him from, like, behind a roped off
sundry banner.
Yeah, he was secluded, but I do have a picture of him derping really hard, and that's really what matters. Let's see, anything else? Jim Butcher, and this is specifically for superfan Jeff. Jeff and I have talked about doing a Jim Butcher Dresden Files show sometime for the brothel, which, Jeff, just so you know, I have not gotten to the last book, but I am going to meet Mr. Butcher and buy a copy from him of his latest book and have him sign it, and then eventually we can have that brothel show. So stay tuned for that, folks. I'm assuming, Fodge, did you ever watch the show or read the books?
No, I've missed it. It's on my Netflix instant queue, though, so getting there.
The show, mixed reviews, and fair mixed reviews, but the books, fantastic. Highly recommend them. They're the best. Honest to goodness, they're the best wizarding books I've ever read.
Better than Legend of the Seeker?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Definitely better than Legend of the Seeker.
I set a bar, and I just was going to let you decide. Didn't Here. Say I was going to set it high.
Fair enough. Better than Mad Magazine?
Oh.
Yes, definitely better than Mad Magazine. Here we go. I'll go as far as to say better than Elminster books.
That's a tall order.
Yeah, well, what can you do? Let's see, any other topics that you would like to cover, that people should know about Gen Con, that you're looking forward to this year, anything like that you would like to get out there to the folks?
surprising amount of food trucks, I suppose. I mean, as obscure as that seemed, like, tons of variety in food. Try some stuff that you're not normally eating. I had amazing luck with just great, delicious food.
Do you know that they actually on the website now have the schedule of what food trucks will be there when?
Oh, yeah. I looked. I'm ready. Wish we could sign up for food trucks.
Sign up for food trucks. Can you use your can you use your general tickets for food trucks?
Hashtag food truck GenCon 2015 for food truck signups next year.
There you go. There you go. I think you should sign up for your time in line. I highly recommend Spicebox. Do you have a particular food truck that you liked, Fodge, that you recall?
I don't remember the name of the cupcake one.
Oh, the cupcake one?
Yeah, but I don't remember their name, so you might just edit it out.
No, it's all right. It's you're talking about the Flying Cupcake.
The Flying Cupcake is my favorite food truck, I would have to say.
Don't know that the Flying Cupcake actually qualifies as a food truck. Well, I guess it is. It's a food.
Full.
Yeah, that's fair. I revoke my previous statement. It is a food truck because it provides a food, and you got full.
I did.
But, yeah, I highly recommend people, even if you're not going to Gen Con, you should think about it. Family Day's on Sunday. You can actually go if you've got, it's a great day to go for kids. Usually a lot of the traffic has died down. Some of the people who couldn't handle the party the night before are sleeping at their, friend's home instead of going.
I don't know who would do that. That seems like somebody's sad.
Yeah, somebody who just couldn't handle their booze, man. Probably.
I think they were just sleepy.
Oh, was that what they were?
If I had to take, like, a bed, I mean, I don't know.
But... You don't know. Oh. But Sunday, it kind of clears out, and you can get discount tickets to go in and kind of hang out. I believe it's $40 to go in for one day, and it's about $80 to go in for all 4 days. And you'd be surprised. I think it's really interesting to look at the events. I know that one of the podcasts that I personally listen to, the Miskatonic University podcast, they're doing a live show, and they're also hosting an impromptu get-together for fans of the show, which is awesome. I mean, you can meet these people, shake their hands, and, well, sort of like did you actually remember the man's name from Riot?
Yeah, Eric Teach.
Okay, that's impressive.
Hey, made an impression.
Apparently, because you are not, you usually aren't very good with names, I don't think.
Nope.
So, for example, Mr. Teach is actually, you know, when he's demonstrating a game, or as we talked about with the card game we played last year, these are not, you're not going into a gaming store and watching a couple of guys sort of teach you how to play, but they never actually bothered to learn the rules themselves. You're meeting the developers. You're meeting the people who have put their blood, sweat, and tears into making these games for you to enjoy. So it's awesome to meet those people and interact with them. I think that's fantastic.
Were you there when we got to play the Goblins webcomic card game with the creator of the webcomic?
No.
Yes, that was an excellent experience. I don't know if you want to put a link at the bottom to the Goblins webcomic, but pretty good card game. I enjoyed it. It was a quirky, fun, good time.
Very cool. Any last thoughts, Fodge, before we call it a day for this week?
No, just if you're going, hope to see you there. Have a wonderful time, and make sure to shower.
Yes, for the love of God. Can we put that on our list of three things?
Pro tip, shower. Also takes care of your water.
Yeah, I guess technically maybe. Maybe absorb a little bit.
You just gotta drink it while you're in the shower.
Who drinks? Do you take, like, ice-cold showers?
No.
Okay, well, because I take, like, scalding hot steam rolls off my back kind of showers. I don't think I want to drink that water.
Don't have time for both. Gen Con, man.
That's true. Gotta get through the Gen Con.
But you gotta go.
But see, this is why they don't shower, because then they burn their tongues and they can't enjoy their flying cupcake.
Oh, damn it. Sacrifices. Dark Souls.
Full circle.
Yep.
All right, folks, I think that's it for this week at the brothel. Hopefully next week we will have a show. Matt is convinced I will be dead from my nerd coma from Gen Con, but we'll see what happens. Other than that, I suppose that is all we have this week from the brothel. Bye, everybody. Say bye, Fodge.
I waved.
Excelsior.
Yeah.